Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode of Sweet and Sour Podcast. My name still remains Abdumumuni Hikmat. Yes, you heard correctly, Mumuni, M-U-M-U-N-I. In my last episode, I spoke on self-esteem and I said that sexual abuse is one of the factors that can lower a person's sense of self. By the way, if you've not listened to that episode, you should definitely check it out. Today's episode is sexual abuse and I decided to speak on this issue because I feel it's one of the most awkward topics we don't speak about as teens and youths, and also because of the increase in this issue in my country. I'm a Nigerian, so I'll basically be speaking from the Nigerian statistics. According to a report, 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 10 boys in Nigeria had experienced sexual abuse before the age of 18. When I read these statistics, I thought to myself, these are statistics from cases that were reported. How about the ones that were never brought forward? The ones that were covered up like it never happened? To me, as long as a person is being forced against their will to do a sexual act or is cajoled, especially by a person higher in authority, to perform a sexual act, it is sexual abuse. There are so many forms of sexual abuse. We have rape, we have pedophilia, we have incest. But in Nigeria today, if you've actually been following up with the news, you would agree with me that rape is the highest form of sexual abuse. There are so many myths about sexual abuse and rape, and I would like to list some of them out. The first myth is sexual abuse is carried out by strangers. Most of the time, sexual abuse is carried out by people we know, people we trust, and people who are close to our families. This is the second myth. To some people, anyone telling their sexual abuse story now is just trying to trend. Guys, this is actually not the case. People are not saying it to trend. They are telling their story because after years of being ashamed, being afraid to speak, they found the courage because someone else broke the ice. The third myth is, people who are raped ask for it, by the way they dress or by the way they act. In Nigeria today, once a case of sexual abuse is brought up, the first thing victims are typically asked is, what were you wearing? Or, your skirt is too short. Why would you not be sexually abused? And all sorts of rubbish would they vomit just to blame the victim. The fourth is, you can spot a sexual abuser by the way he looks. My people, sexual abuser is not written on the face, and oftentimes they are always friendly people, cheerful givers, and they always possess good qualities. Alongside these myths, the way the society in Nigeria blames and stigmatizes sexually abused victim is bad, and most times this is one of the reasons why sexually abused victims don't speak up. Also, I've heard of cases where the sexually abused victims are advised to make a report to the police. But what I've found out is that no matter the case you're reporting to the police in Nigeria, you have to bring out money. If not, your case is not even going to be pushed or brought forward for them to investigate on the matter. In addition to the reason why most sexually abusers go unpunished is because most families decide to cover up or prevent their family name from getting soiled at the expense of the victim's rights, which is not supposed to be so. I'm going to be sharing 2 stories with you guys. The first one is a story of a friend. She told me this story and permitted me to share it to you guys. The second story is a true life story. I picked it up from the internet. Although both stories are of sexually abused female victims, I want you to know that males are also sexually abused, and it leaves the same agony to them as it does to the females. So the first story went this way. Dear Hikmat, I'm a victim of sexual abuse, and funny how it didn't break me or take a long time for me to heal. In fact, it made a part of who I am today. I'm the only daughter of 4 children, and I'm the firstborn. My mom divorced my father. My mom really works hard to provide for our needs. I was 8 years old when I had my first sexual abuse encounter. I was playing that day, then a neighbor of mine called me to their room. Being a child, I didn't even think twice about answering because he was a good neighbor, and most neighbors call kids like us to send us on errands, so I thought I was going to run an errand for him. When I got into the room, he gave me something. I think it was honey. And after that, He brought out his manhood and asked me if I wanted that too, of which I said no. After this incident, he called me again several times, about five. He would then play a pornographic video on these occasions where the girl was performing oral sex on the man and asked me to repeat the same thing on him. I can't really recall, but I think one day he tried to touch my vagina. I wanted to tell my mom so bad, but I didn't know how to. I thought of stabbing him with a knife on several occasions, but I remembered that in the Bible, to kill was a sin. Then one day, my vagina started hurting me and my mom noticed. She called me and asked if anyone tried to touch me there. Immediately, I mentioned my abuser's name. My mom summoned the person and asked me to repeat what I told her in his presence, and I did so boldly. He tried to deny it, but too bad, my mom believed me, and a feeling of relief did I feel. As I sit and write this to you, I'm beginning to think my vagina did not necessarily hurt that day, because it was a long time he actually attempted to touch me there, but oh well, it is what it is. I got over the incident after I heard a story of a close family member from my father's side who raped a girl from my mother's side. I began to feel lucky that I was not raped, and I stopped feeling sorry for myself. I shared this story with you because I want you to share it to your listeners who have been sexually abused, and I want them to know that being sexually abused is not their fault. It was not their fault, and they are not to be blamed for it. The second story. This is a story of Wanda Adu, a 34-year-old single mother of a 4-year-old son. At 6, Wanda's female nanny, a distant relative, would ask her to perform oral sex on her whenever Wanda's parents were out. That happened for 5 years. While she was in 4th grade at the age of 9, a male typist molested her. As a 13-year-old girl, Wanda also got harassed by teachers in her secondary school. During her final year in the university, she escaped 2 rape attempts. Her professor also failed her because she refused to engage in a sexual relationship with him. The most heartbreaking one for me in Wanda's story was when her doctor, who was supposed to be following up on her recovery after undergoing a surgery, raped her. I hope you can now see and relate from the two stories that sexual abuse is mostly carried out by people we know, people who are close to us, and the laws in Nigeria are not necessarily fighting or doing justice to this menace that's happening in our country. But of recent, they've actually enacted some laws which fight against sexual abuse. So if you're sexually abused at the moment or have been in the past and is still trying to forget that ugly experience, here are 2 things I have to say to you. The first is, know that it is not your fault. You did not ask for it and you know it. Life just happened and you became a victim of this menace. You're not to blame for it. The second is, tell someone whom you trust, someone who can take actions for you. It doesn't have to be your parent per se, especially if you think they won't believe you. You have to speak to someone because you need to hear yourself. Hear yourself describe the experience. You need to let it out. Telling someone may also prevent another person from going through the same experience you've gone through. Like if you tell someone and the necessary actions are carried out, your abuser gets imprisoned or some sort of law that follow up with whatever abuse that have been committed against you, then your abuser would not be able to cause pain to others because he is now in prison or he is now punished for his actions. To those of us who have not been sexually abused and we want to help victims but don't know how to, especially when they try to tell us their story, the one thing I beg of us to do is to listen and listen patiently. Don't interrupt. Don't judge. Just listen. You're not in a position to fix them or take away their pain. It is also important for you to believe their story. Check in periodically on them, because for someone to tell you their story of abuse, then you must have been trustworthy to them. Irrespective of the age, the gender, the family background, the impact of sexual abuse is devastating. The world doesn't feel the same. You question your worth. You question your sanity. You feel dirty. and you feel a whole lot of things. It's actually okay to feel that way. Don't just wallow in this pain for too long and take actions. I feel miserable for what has been done to you, that in the end, I cannot take away your pain or erase that terrible memory. But I found a way to help you. I have put some emails and phone numbers in the description box. You can contact this email and phone numbers if you're a sexually abused victim in Nigeria. These are emails of organizations that fight against abuse and provide medical attention to victims. Finally, I want to leave you with this quote. Sexual abuse doesn't have to be the breaking of you. It can be the making of you. It can be the remodeling of you. Please speak out. You can save a life. You can save so many people. Just tell somebody, speak out. I hope you guys learned or picked a thing or two from this episode. I know the episode was kind of, I don't know, whatever you want to describe it as. But well, have a wonderful week, guys.